You're a runner. From the starting line to the finish line, you know that every breath and every step is a gift. You train hard and always welcome a new challenge. When the training gets tough, you stay focused and committed to your goals. You are strong, healthy, fast. Now you are ready to take your training to the next level. Hey, endurance athletes, welcome back to the Freedom to Run podcast. This is episode 61, and I'm Jeremy Hafes. Spring is fast approaching, and this time of year takes me back nearly 4 years ago as my wife and I were preparing for the May half marathon in our hometown of Lincoln, Nebraska. But this wasn't a normal training cycle, as this time my wife was pregnant with our first son. It requires an extra level of commitment and dedication to continue running through pregnancy. And my guest for this episode, Courtney Polis, is a mom of two, while number three is on the way. She is showcasing this level of commitment and dedication to running through pregnancy while also balancing the requirements for being the race director of the Youngstown Marathon. Let's get into the conversation with Courtney as we chat about running while pregnant, being a race director, coaching, and much more. Hey, Courtney, thanks for chatting today.
Thanks. How are you?
Hey, pretty good. Yeah, I'm ready for spring and those training periods coming up. And I know you probably have a lot of athletes that are registered for your Youngstown Marathon or getting registered that are starting their training cycles. But as we get into that, just give a little background, who you are and you as a runner, but also coach, race director. You have a lot of stuff going on.
A lot of hats. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I am an RRCA certified running coach and race director. I currently live in Youngstown, Ohio. I've been in Youngstown for about 15 years. And in addition to some run coaching, I am a mom of two with one on the way, due March 11th. So that's coming up pretty quickly. And I'm also race director of the Youngstown Marathon. We had our first year in 2017. I founded the race, put the race on. The first year was really great, and now we're moving into year two. The race takes place in June. So there's a lot going on.
That is a lot. And one of the first things I want to talk about is that three on the way. You've been running through pregnancy, but also balancing that with all this other stuff going on. And to all the moms or new dads out there, do you have any tips or anything that you'd like to share as far as some of the stuff you've learned along the way with balancing all of that?
I think it's very important as people and as parents to have something of our own. So that's usually what I look to when I need to balance my time. I make time for my running. I make time for race directing because I love those things. So I know that makes me a better mother. So I would say that would be my biggest piece of advice is if you love it, like I love running and I love race directing, it's definitely something that people should keep up with because it's important. You need to still be you even when you're a parent.
So true, and the way you phrase that is, yes, something that's your own. Because so many times we can get wrapped up in our kids' activities or just being there with the kids, and I think that's all great. But I think that time to get out and do something on your own, and I'm kind of the same way. I prefer almost sometimes to run on my own as opposed to a group because I'm always around people. I'm with my wife or with my kids, and sometimes just the solitude of the trail is what I long for.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I've run with a group twice in my 3 to 4 year running career here. So yeah. I prefer to run alone also for similar reasons.
Yeah. So you are on the home stretch for baby number three. And just as far as the running through pregnancy, it's probably one of the big things is maybe cutting back on intensity, whether it's mileage or pace. Am I correct in that?
Yeah, my pace is about a little less than double what it was before. And that's been a little bit tough mentally to go from running between 9 and 10 minute miles to now running between 17 and 19 minute miles.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think the most important thing is getting it done. And I think that's one of the mantras that I'll use in childbirth too, is just I'm going to get there. I'm going to do what I set out to do, and it's going to be fine. Regardless of how I get there, I'm going to get there. So it's usually what I tell myself.
And one of the benefits, too, is hopefully it prepares you that physically and mentally part for labor, and then also speed up the recovery afterwards.
Yeah, I hope so. I had a scheduled C-section last time, and this time that is not the plan. We're planning the opposite, so it should be interesting. but yeah, I think I'll really see a lot of benefits when it's time to recover, when I come home with the baby.
Absolutely. Is now, did you, I'm assuming you ran through your other pregnancies as well?
I didn't. This is the first time I've been this active in running during a pregnancy.
Okay. So, well, one of the things I was going to ask you is, how do you maybe have, just kind of see how the birthing process and labor goes, to see how quickly or how you maybe come back to running post-pregnancy, or are you just going to kind of see how that goes and talk to your doctor along the way?
I'm going to play it by ear. She seems to think that I'll be able to start getting back into it in about 2 weeks, since I've basically run, I mean, I'm 38 weeks as of yesterday, so at this point I'm essentially have run through the entire pregnancy for the most part, and I plan to keep doing it this week and next week, as long as I'm carrying this child. So because I've stayed active for so long, my doctor seems to think that, yeah, if everything goes well and there's no complications, there should be a reason why I can't start getting back into it 2 to 3 weeks later.
That'll be great. I'm sure you'd be looking forward to that. And do you have any races maybe on your list to do, to kind of some bucket list fun races that you want to do post-pregnancy?
I'm thinking I'll start back up with 5Ks around May. I would really like to do it's in the Pittsburgh Marathon weekend, the Pittsburgh Marathon 5K. And I'm probably going to try to run a fall half marathon, a local one. We have some really great races here in Youngstown that go through an iconic park called Mill Creek Park. And they put on a race every year called the Green Cathedral. And it's a quite hilly half marathon, but it's right around the corner from me. So I'm definitely looking into running that one.
That'd be great, and yes, something that you wouldn't have to be away from home or travel for, so you can be right there with your kids, go run, and come right back.
Right. Yep.
And yeah, it's such a balance with the family, and how do we incorporate them or not take away too much? But then you've also got the race directing that you're doing as well. And now, is this a busy time? We're about 3 months out. You said first part is the race is in June. So is this kind of a busy time, communication, pushing to get registrants, or what's the process involved with that?
Yeah, this is when it starts to really kick up. I would say end of January, beginning of February is when a race that is in June really starts to ramp up. There's a lot that we're still doing with sponsorship. We have so many sponsorship options, and we're trying to fill those. We've got mile markers and water stops, and we changed the course up a little bit this year for the full marathon. So there's a permitting process that we have to go through. And what's unique about our race is that it runs through a lot of different townships and jurisdictions. So we've actually got 5 permits that we need for one race. We've got a township permit, a state highway permit, city of Youngstown permit, Mill Creek Park. So yeah, 4 to 5 permits that we're trying to push through. I have a really great team though. I have a really great team, and they're a huge help to me right now, especially as I start to slow down a little bit.
Yeah.
So it's going good.
Good. And some of those permitting processes, the organization of the volunteers, it's stuff that a lot of runners or people registering for these events maybe overlook. And it's one of those things to where the race directors and your team, you guys do so much to make sure that it's an enjoyable and memorable experience for everybody. And yeah, it takes a lot, and especially when you're working with multiple townships like that, even complicates the process.
Right. Absolutely.
And but is it one of those things where you've kind of now you see it as maybe a process? There's these checkpoints, and it's about project management at this point, where you know you have to do certain things at certain times once you have a race or multiple races year after year.
Yeah, it's definitely running a lot smoother this year. We're a lot more aware of when things have to be in, how many signatures something is going to require. Yeah. So that dictates, you know, when we start a process. It's kind of an interesting story. I was signed up as a volunteer for the Youngstown Marathon when I saw that we were going to have one in the newspaper last year. And the original race director quit, and the race fell on my lap, and I pretty much started from scratch at the end of January.
Wow.
I just started over. I rebranded it. I found a new team. I found a new marketing company. And so this year is definitely running smoother than last year.
Good. So it was kind of trial by fire, just getting in the ring and going after it, huh?
Yeah, and everyone was cooperative, and people were really willing to help us out. So we had a lot of cooperation from those jurisdictions. We had a lot of cooperation from different medical care facilities to help us out with making sure we provided our runners with the best medical care if they needed it. And again, just we had a smaller team last year, but we kept those core members for this year, and it was quite a team effort last year and this year too.
That is great. It's pretty amazing how the running community and people like that will reach out and help and volunteer and put in their time and their expertise to make sure that events like this that support the community on so many levels, the financial impact to bring in runners in and hotels and restaurants is pretty significant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And is there a plan to expand on the Youngstown Marathon, having other races at different points in the year, or are you just really just going to focus on making the Youngstown Marathon great?
Well, we actually have in April, it takes place on April 22nd. We're a nonprofit called the Youngstown Marathon Foundation, and we now have the Youngstown Marathon as our big race. We've also taken on a race that's been around since about 2012 called the Run Y-Town 10-miler. So that happens in April. So that's the first race that I'll be directing along with my team, and it's sort of the official training run of the Youngstown Marathon. It previews the course, the marathon course. So things are busy. I'm a little bit nervous, I won't lie, about directing a race in April with a newborn, pretty much. But again, you're capable of whatever you think you're capable of, so I'm sure that we can pull it off and it'll go great.
Yeah, no kidding. And yeah, that's when you really, like you said before, of leveraging that team and what that's going to take. And yeah, that'll be fun. There's some races around here that do a similar thing of kind of not necessarily previewing the course, but they're almost designed as tune-up races for some of the local runners, and they get some really good response, and people incorporate those into their training programs, and they plan them.
Yeah, we're excited about it. I think it's going to go great. We did it last year. It was a little bit more low-key last year. This year, we really amped it up as far as finisher medals and T-shirts and other swag, so we're excited to see the turnout for that.
Good, and that's one of the fun things is once you get the process going, yeah, you can start to add in those little tweaks and little improvements year over year. And then the local runners, regional runners almost know and associate the Youngstown Marathon with certain things, and they look forward to it, and they plan it annually in their race schedule.
Yeah, for sure.
And what are some of the maybe unique memories or highlights from last year's marathon that you had? You talked about getting kind of thrown into it, but what were some of the big key takeaways or highlights from that experience?
Well, we had our goal was between 800 and 1,000 runners, and there we were, you know, the 6 weeks to go trying to order more medals and T-shirts and everything because we got almost 1,200. So we were pleasantly shocked. Pleasantly surprised, I guess, at the amount of registrations that we received. So that was a big one. And I honestly think just the the sheer willpower that it took to pull that off last year. That's probably the most unforgettable part of our first year, is that we started so late in the game, but we received such positive feedback for the race about how organized it was. And it's almost comical when we read that, because we were so glad that on the front lines it looked organized, but we just, you know, we scrambled with a lot of stuff. But we seemed to get it done somehow. So even from our point, we're like, oh my gosh, you know, we got to do this better next year. We have to organize this better. We have to do this a little bit different. You know, our runners were very satisfied. So we were really happy about that. And, you know, just from a comical standpoint, I'm not sure how, but a car was about to drive through my finish line.
Oh, no way.
So I ran through the finish line. I had a beer in my hand that I was going to give to our marathon winner, who ran in about 2 hours and 36 minutes, and I just put this beer in my hand, bolted, and stood in front of this car until he finally turned around. But, yeah, we almost had a car drive through our finish line. So
wow.
That was interesting.
That would have been interesting. And just kind of the last second you talked about, yeah, just it being crazy and yet everybody complimented you on being organized. It's one of those things almost where maybe you're under pressure, whether that's in life or in running. And sometimes when we procrastinate, we maybe overlook some details because we're procrastinating. We think everything's in line, to whereas where it's in that high pressure situation to where you really dive into the details and like, okay, what do we need to do? What do we need to do? And everybody takes charge and gets it done.
We refer to ourselves as a fourth quarter team.
Yeah. Yep. Showing up at the end. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And just what about you personally, you as a runner, what's been one of your greatest memories?
I ran the Pittsburgh Marathon this past year. I had to cut off the course at about mile 10 and a half because I just couldn't make it to the end of the half marathon. But I was pretty badly injured, and I kept going. And it happened the year before as well. It's just I don't know what it is about the Pittsburgh Marathon, but those ones stand out to me as some of the most accomplished races that I've run. In 2016, I somehow got IT band syndrome at the end of about mile one, and I ran the entire thing with a pretty inflamed IT band, and I finished it. The next year, I had Achilles tendonitis in my left foot, my left ankle, and I ran as much as I could, and then I had to cut off the course. But the reason those stand out to me so much is because it shows me how much I really love the sport. You know, to be injured and run a whole half marathon and walk through the finish line or crawl, crying practically, and then want to sign up for another one. It becomes clear to me in those moments how much I love running and how much running has done for me and how much it means to me.
Yeah, those are really good stories. It shows the toughness of not only you, but you hear so many runners, yeah, that are they're so passionate about running and completing that race that they had a goal out there that they wanted to do. But once you cross that finish line, there's obviously so much sense of accomplishment with that. Moving on as you train forward to prevent some of those injuries, do you have any recovery techniques or anything to keep your body running smoothly so you don't get the IT syndrome flaring up or the Achilles tendonitis? What are you doing for the recovery side now?
I think it's just, I call it like maintenance, really, is that it's, you know, you get off the treadmill or you come back in the house from running and all you want to do is sit down on the couch. But something that I wasn't doing before when I got these injuries was warming up properly. And more importantly, I think, is cooling down properly. I mean, after every run now, I'm foam rolling my IT band. I'm foam rolling my calves because Achilles tendonitis is due more to tight calf muscles than people realize, I think. So I think just making sure, just like you do with the car, with oil changes and stuff like that, you know, taking care of those pesky maintenance things that maybe we don't want to do, that'll make a world of difference.
So true. I've seen that in myself over the years, especially as I've been getting older. And I think sometimes as maybe young runners, we can get away with it. But in order to be that lifelong runner who's for the most part injury free, like you said, the warm-ups and cool downs are so important.
Yeah. Yeah. And I wasn't really, you know, I warm up a little bit, like a block and do some intervals and stuff like that. But I just didn't make cooling down a priority until I finally got hurt for the millionth time and thought, well, this isn't going to have to be it. So.
Sure. And it's one of those things as runners, we want to squeeze out every last mile. We want to run as long as we can until it's like, oh, I have a meeting or I have an appointment. I need to get going. We're going to run until we absolutely have to quit. So it's one of those things where maybe it's stopping a half mile ahead of time or cutting off a mile from your run and spending those last 10 minutes stretching or other cool down techniques, like you mentioned.
Yeah. And I think running this far into pregnancy, I think has helped me kind of be a little bit more patient with myself and do exactly what you said, where it's like, you got to just listen to your body and listen to yourself. If you need to slow down, slow down. If you need to stop halfway through and stretch, don't be obsessed with running, you know, 10 miles consecutively. Stop and stretch for a few minutes. Pause your Garmin. It's not going to make or break you if you take 5 minutes to stretch out or foam roll or something in between your miles. So I definitely feel like that's been one of the biggest benefits and one of the biggest lessons I've learned running this far into being pregnant is that, like I said, you can always get there. It's just a matter of how, and it's easy to become a little bit crazy about pace and this and everything else. But I think what ultimately matters most is that you set a goal, you find ways to reach it, even if it's not what you initially thought you would do to get there.
Absolutely. I talked to Jonathan Beverly. He's the author of the Run Fast, Stay Hungry. And he talked about some of those same points for runners who run for a lifetime, that they enjoy it. They don't get caught up in the pace or the mileage, but they just enjoy it. And if they have to slow down, they slow down. If they feel like, oh, it's a great day, they're going to push the pace a little bit, they allow that to happen on those days and they don't get caught up in all those fine details.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And that's the thing is, I think a lot of us who love running this much, we do want it to be a lifelong sport. So, yeah, I mean, it's a constant adjustment. I've discovered that since I started running in 2014.
Yeah, you go through different periods as an athlete, but also just those times need to match up with the chapters of our life. And your training is probably going to take a little bit different shift when baby number three comes here, right?
Yeah, it will.
And it's just taking all of that in stride, literally.
Yeah, because again, it doesn't matter. I just keep telling myself, I can still run half marathons. I can still train. It's just going to be a little bit different for a little bit.
Yeah, most certainly. And what's been one life lesson that you've learned from running or training or even race directing that you've applied to life?
We are way more capable than we give ourselves credit for. I would say that's the biggest one. I was never an athletic person. I almost failed gym class multiple semesters in high school. They used to make me tread water for 30 minutes, pass with a D. So I was never an athletic person. I still don't really care for team sports. I didn't start running until I was 27. So I doubted myself a lot, but still here, still doing it. As far as race directing, I had a really good team. Like I said, but you know, it took a little while for me to, I don't want to say convince the community, but for me to kind of show our community and the larger running community that this could be a thing and we could make it happen and there could be a Youngstown Marathon. So again, I just think we can do hard stuff, a lot more hard stuff than we think we can do. And we're a lot more capable than we give ourselves credit for. And that's really, I think, what running and race directing has taught me most.
That's so good because I absolutely agree. We sometimes tap into, most of the time, only tap into our true potential, just a percentage of it. And we're leaving so much on the table. And what would you say, how do we, just other than just getting out there, but how do we maximize what we're capable of? What do you think there?
I I call it laser focusing. You just kind of have to let all the fluff fall down around you and really focus on whatever goal it is that you set. And I think when people can get to that point and they have sort of this tunnel vision and they're laser focused on what it is they want to accomplish, you really just don't take no for an answer. And it can take a little while to get there, I think, but once people are determined enough, they can do whatever it is they want to do.
I like that, laser focusing, because we live in a world of distractions. You called it the fluff.
Right.
Getting rid of that stuff. What do we really want to accomplish in life? And getting there and then having the laser focus to see it through.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you also mentioned before, too, of the patience part of it, the laser focus. But even with laser focus, stuff isn't going to happen overnight, not next week, especially in running. It's going to take a while for you to get back once after labor and the birthing process. It's going to take a while, but if you have that laser focus and patience, you'll get there.
And it's tough for me. I mean, my husband will tell you, and so will everyone else, that I am probably one of the most impatient people that they've ever met. So that's challenging, but all these challenges associated with running and race directing and everything else, I mean, they have the power to make us, I think, stronger, more resilient, better people.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And if a runner comes to you for you to be their coach, or you have a first-time marathoner sign up for the Youngstown Marathon, and you had to give them just one piece of advice, what would you tell them?
I would say not to give up. That's the most important thing. Doesn't necessarily matter how slow you're going, how fast you're going, how quickly you get there, but just it's a process and don't give up.
I like that. That's good. And yeah, it's called an endurance sport for a reason. It's something that mm-hmm. takes a while. Don't give up. And there's going to be highs and lows in a marathon, tough stretches, easy stretches. But if you push through them, you'll see the finish line.
Yep.
Yeah, that's
definitely.
That's good stuff. And I want to also talk about nutrition a little bit and how you weave that in to the family, and if you have any tips or strategies with that, and what you plan there, so that you eat what you want to eat as a runner, but then also set your family up for success. What do you have there?
I eat a little bit of everything. I don't really engage in some of these plans and stuff that are out there. I try, really my biggest thing is just to make well-balanced, real food for myself and for my family. I think if you're eating real food that's not artificial and doesn't have a lot of sweeteners and stuff like that, it's low on the sugar, healthy carbs, fresh vegetables, fresh fruit and stuff like that, I mean, that satisfies all of us and keeps all of us going, including me. So it's more for me about just making sure that I eat real food, that my family eats real food. We're not big fast food eaters. That's kind of off the table for us. But we just eat a lot of stuff that's good for you. And I have a lot of runners ask me that, well, what's your diet plan and stuff like that. And I just say, I eat real food when I'm hungry.
Yep.
That's how I operate.
That's good stuff. And it's so easy to get caught up in, the keto, paleo, Whole30, all this other stuff. And really what it comes down to is if you eat just whole natural stuff that's minimally processed, you'll be good. And you know what? If your kids don't know any different, their taste buds aren't accustomed to the fast food or the preservatives, synthetic, artificial flavors, and they're going to eat it.
Yeah, exactly. And you're right. You mentioned keto and different things like that. There's a lot of buzz around, these carb-cutting diets, and I'm very upfront with my athletes. Carbs are your body's preferred source of energy. You don't need to go eat a whole loaf of white bread every night, but, having carbs in your diet, I think, is pretty important. So that's one of the nutritional points that I stand by.
Yeah, so true. And there's going to be research out there that shows certain things here, athletes that say, boy, I had really good benefits. But every athlete is so different, and it might work for somebody, mm-hmm. and they might have great results, but who knows what their biology and biological makeup is that maximizes that for them.
Right. Yes, yeah. Exactly.
So, and also just if you stick with that whole and natural food, but then tweak it and experiment with some different things here and there, just slightly, you might find something that works for each individual too. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think that's a lot better, especially during training. You know, I've had friends sort of in the middle of their training for a marathon or a half marathon or something, just want to lose more weight or shed more weight, and they'll want to do some of these more drastic diets, I guess, or drastic eating plans. And I always kind of advise against it. So I agree with you there that small stuff over time can make a big difference. And losing weight as a runner, too, isn't just about nutrition. That's a big part of it. But, you know, if you're out there killing yourself and you're at 85% of your max heart rate, you're not gonna shed fat the way you would if you stick with that 65% heart rate. And, you know, interval training, high intensity interval training and things like that. So there's a lot, I think, that goes into that kind of stuff when it comes to nutrition.
Yeah, there's so much and so many different ways and different tactics, different strategies that each athlete can use, and it comes down to, yeah, sticking to whole natural and finding something that works for you.
Yep.
And Courtney, this has been a fun conversation, and I'm excited to see how the Youngstown Marathon goes and also baby number 3 and how your training goes, and how can people follow you online, but also if they're looking for a June marathon or maybe a marathon in the state of Ohio, how can they get in touch with you and the Youngstown Marathon?
I do a lot of my communication for run coaching and just personal stuff on Instagram. My Instagram username is runfar, 2 PR, RUNFAR, 2 PR. It's also my blog, runfar2pr.com, and youngstownmarathon.com if anyone wants to sign up for an early June marathon in the state of Ohio. We have a really cool race that goes through the city and goes through a gorgeous park, so we would love to have anyone who wants to run.
That sounds great. Well, hey, Courtney, thanks so much again, and I wish you the best of luck in your own training and these last few weeks of pregnancy, and then also with the marathon race directing.
Thank you. It's been great talking to you. Thanks.
Find all of the links to connect with Courtney in the show notes at usaendurance.com/061. Also, check out the Youngstown Marathon and put that race on your calendar. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe and leave a 5-star review, and share this episode with your friends wherever you listen to podcasts. Until next time, lace up those shoes, hit the trail, and train hard. Thank you for listening to the Freedom to Run podcast. If you're ready to take your training to the next level and reach your running and fitness goals, we invite you to join the USA Endurance community at usaendurance.com.